You're listening to Radio MD. It's time to Ask Dr. Mike on Healthy Talk. Call or email to ask your questions now. Email askdrmikesmith at radiomd.com or call 877-711-5211. The lines are open.
All right, again, 877-711-5211 or ask Dr. Mike Smith at radiomd.com. I'm going to skip the first question and go to the second one I had listed here because I've talked about this, I think, a couple times in the recent past, so I don't want to go over this over and over again too many times, but I think it's a good question, so I just want to quickly address it and we'll move on to the next one. I'm trying to explain to my friend that some of the research against the use of supplements is biased and not always conducted in a fair method. Can you help me educate her on consistent flaws of anti-supplement research? Well, sure. So I've talked about this before. I think I listed it out as the who, the what, and the how of research. Who is being tested? What's being tested? And how is it being tested? If you just keep track of those three questions, that will help you to analyze pretty much any publication that's put out there, good or bad. And by the way, there are some legitimate anti-supplement studies out there. I think that's another issue, actually. I don't always believe that supplements should be studied in the exact same way as a drug, simply because how they work differently in the body. But that's maybe a whole another segment. But here specifically, when you see a headline, fish oils are bad for the heart, or fish oils don't help heart patients, whatever it might be, just ask yourself, the who, the what, and the how. The who in most of these studies are unhealthy Americans or sick people that are already sick. And the reason I brought up that fish oil one, there was a study that talked about how fish oils were not beneficial in heart patients, and even though that goes against all kinds of great positive research with fish oil in heart patients. But in this particular case, these were patients in this study who had already had one heart attack. I mean, we're already kind of stacking the odds a little bit against the nutrient. So in many of the cases, when you ask, well, who are they studying, you'll find that the answer in many of these research studies are they're studying sick people, people who have already had a disease, and they're just simply trying to prevent another attack or, a progression. So you're kind of stacking the odds there. Number two is the what are they studying? What nutrients? So in that case of the omega-3s, it turns out they were using a nice quality omega-3, but they were using a low dose. So they were using a low dose omega-3. I think they were given in that study 500 milligrams. And I've always talked about at least 2 grams a day of omega-3 oils. And if you're dealing with something like a heart issue, you probably want to be higher than that, maybe 4 grams a day. So in that particular study, the what, fish oil, was low dose. And that's what you'll often find, that it's either a low quality, it's the wrong form of the nutrient, or it's a low dose. That's the what. And then the last one is the how. How are they actually collecting the data? And you'll find in many cases it's with surveys. Now, surveys are okay. I mean, we use surveys ourselves here at Life Extension, but we understand that we should never draw any absolute conclusions off surveys because they are somewhat unreliable, especially if you're only asking the person one time in a 10-year time frame, did you ever take fish oil? And based on that one answer at that one time, if you put them in a fish oil group and you never ask them again, are you still taking fish oil? That's not a good way to do it. So surveys are unreliable, especially if you don't have proper follow-up. So that's the who, usually sick people, the what, usually low quality, low dose supplements, and the how, surveys. And that's usually what's wrong with these anti-supplement studies. Okay, so there you go. Let's go to the next question. Is nutrient testing, like for neurotransmitters or minerals, reliable? Yes and no. And I hate it. Don't you love it when a doctor answers a question like that? Well, yes and no. Maybe. The idea of being able to test your body, whether through blood or urine or hair analysis, whatever it is, being able to test what's in your system as far as vitamins and minerals and neurotransmitters, I mean, that it sounds great. No doubt about that. If I really want to know, if I really want to personalize my suggestions for people, as a matter of fact, I just wrote a whole book on how to personalize nutritional regimens. It's called The Supplement Pyramid. Yeah, I need to know that kind of information. So I do rely on some of this type of testing. But there's a caveat in that. There's disclaimer that I have to throw out there that we haven't really figured out perfectly how to use a lot of that data. Let me give you an example. Take a nutrient test that is looking at minerals, you know, magnesium, manganese, copper, you know, et cetera. When I collect that data from you, whether it's through blood or urine, whatever it is, I collect that data. Ultimately, I'm just looking at a one-time little snapshot of what's going on in your system at that particular moment in time. And so it does bring in this question. Well, how reliable are these? Let's say in that snapshot picture, at that moment in time, your magnesium levels were low. Well, does that really mean you have a magnesium deficiency and I should be suggesting more and more magnesium? I mean, you see where some of the questions come in. I mean, if I could test your blood and your urine and your hair throughout the entire 24-hour period when you're sleeping, awake, stressed, not stressed, and look at all of that data, that might be a little bit more helpful because I'm going to see the peaks and the valleys and I could average it out more. Maybe someday with technology we'll be able to do something like that. But right now we're not there. We're not able to do that. So we have to do the best we can. And so we have to take these snapshot pictures. So nutrient testing is awesome. It gives me a lot of information. It helps me to personalize my suggestions for people. It helps me to tailor my, my regimens that I build for people and even myself. So yeah, it's awesome. But we have to understand the limitations, and it's we're just getting these snapshots. So I do think it's worth it, especially if you're willing to get tested on a continuous basis and watch, you know, get a baseline and see where you are a few months later and just keep following that and build that kind of database. If you're willing to do that and you have the money, that's great. That gives a lot of information. But just one mineral test there's some issues there, some reliability issues. Okay, so again, my answer is nutrient testing reliable? Yes and no. Okay, let's go to the next one. I think this is a big one. I'm gonna skip that one. I'm gonna go to one about Benadryl. The one I'm gonna skip was about MS and about family risk, and I'll do that at another one because that's gonna take some time. How much Benadryl is an overdose? How much Benadryl is an overdose that can kill? Does taking large quantity damage organs? Benadryl is the brand name for a drug called diphenhydramine. It's a histamine blocker, works against allergies. Yeah, there's well-documented cases of people overdosing with Benadryl. Of course, that's going to depend on how big you are and how often you've taken it. But, you know, high doses of Benadryl can cause blood pressure issues, lots of confusion, delirium. I know working in the emergency rooms at a big county hospital in Dallas, Texas, they were often abused, you know, drinking with these types of antihistamine blockers. These histamine blockers can cause acute toxicity, make you feel high, that kind of stuff. So yeah, you definitely can overdo it, but there's no one dose or answer because it's really based on how often you use it. And so I would just stick with the suggested dosing on the packaging. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.